Happy Easter, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to pick up and continue through our study through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, looking in particular to section 671 of the Catechism as it relates to the ascension of Jesus and how that also relates to you and me. Because we're getting into that nitty-gritty where we become a prayer people, a people who are blessed because Christ has gone on before us into heavenly places and now reigns there at the right hand of God, our Father. And it's because of this that we have such great blessings in the church today. And that's going to be what we're going to be discussing today and really getting into. But before we do that, I want to make an announcement that we do have our website up and running. That's dtesh.com. That's dtesh.com. And it is linked with all the current podcasts. It has a link to a Teespring website where you can look at like five different shirts right now. We'll have a whole bunch more up in a little bit. And you can look at the books that I've already published that are already out on Amazon by looking in the My Books section. And we are going to, in the next 24 hours, I'm hoping I can get the first YouTube video that'll be linked to that website through the YouTube channel to help really get you an understanding of what's going on. And I think because it is the season of Easter still, we're going to start with the Glorious Mysteries. I'm going to get that out, and hopefully that'll be done within the next 24 hours. So have your eyes looking for that. And this can all be found at our website of dtesh.com. That's dtesh.com. So, let us now turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer and begin today's lesson. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus, I adore you, Son of Mary, my Savior and my brother, for you are my God. I follow you in my thoughts, O first fruit of our race, as I hope one day by your grace to follow you in my person into heavenly glory. In the meantime, do not let me neglect the earthly task that you have given me. Let me labor diligently all my life with greater appreciation for the present, and let me realize that it is only by accomplishing my true human fulfillment that I will obtain divine fulfillment and ascend to you at the completion of my work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, today we are looking at section 671 of the Catechism, and it begins to develop the theme of the kingdom already being established. We've talked already that the reason why he ascended into heaven was to do two things: to allow humanity, you and me, access to heaven, and to make it a place where we can dwell. The second thing that he did, because that's still part of the first, even though there's two parts. The second thing is he took his throne at the right hand of God the Father. He assumed the same divine rulership of the universe that he had before. He just now has it in his incarnate body that has been raised gloriously into heaven. Raised from the dead and raised into heaven. So that's the amazing things that go on here. And we can see this here in 671 of the Catechism, where it says, though already present in his church, Christ's reign is nevertheless yet to be fulfilled with power and great glory by the king's return to earth. This is an established fact. Jesus went to heaven so that his reign can come down on earth. In fact, we're praying for that every time we pray the Our Father, because we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom already exists in heaven. It has to manifest on earth. How does it manifest on earth? Through you and me. That's where merit comes into play into our salvation. Our working out our salvation is more or less working out the will of God here on earth as it already is in heaven. It's not to gain salvation, it's not to merit salvation, it's to be a cooperator with grace so that salvation can be made manifest down here. And that we find out as we continue through 671 of the Catechism, because it tells us this reign is still under attack by evil powers, even though they have already been definitively defeated by Christ's Passover. When Jesus died and said, "It is finished," he meant it is finished. He meant that there's nothing more that needs to be done to establish the fact that Satan is a condemned foe, that all the sin, wickedness, and evil and all that stuff in the world is defeated. But at the same time, it's not fully manifest. That's why it is still waiting for the power and great glory of his return for it to fully be established here on earth. And we know that the evil powers attack us and keep us from the fullness of the grace of the kingdom of God on earth and the fullness of the blessings of eternity, because we still get sick. We still can lose our jobs. We can still have great catastrophes happen, like being born in a time when COVID will have us hide out in our houses and things like that. Great catastrophes, great plagues. I mean, they are gonna still happen. I mean, this is something that we don't get away from. And it continues by telling us in 671 that until everything is subject to him, until there is a realized new heavens and new earth in which justice dwells, the pilgrim church in her sacraments and institutions, which belong to this present age, carries the mark of this world which will pass. And she herself groans, takes her place with the creatures which groan and travail and yet await the revelation of the sons of God. We do that every time we sin. We're like, "Oh, why did I do that? I didn't mean to do it." I mean, we all still have temptations. We still have the weakness to give in to concupiscence. Even though there is a definitive, you've been baptized, you have this new grace inside of it, you can still choose. Because like Joshua told everybody in Joshua 24, choose this day whom you will serve. You have to choose. Are you going to listen to your concupiscence and die in your sins? Or are you going to repent of your sins and surrender yourself as an instrument to God to be purified and used by him? Because we are called, as Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 tells us, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Every day of our life that we are doing good is a living sacrifice to God. And at the same time, we are to renew our minds. We're supposed to get our thinking right. We're supposed to start thinking like this new creature in Christ that we are. We are supposed to realize the fullness of the gospel. And that's why we go to communion as often as we can, why we go to confession as often as we need to, why we call for the elders of the church, the priest, to come anoint us if we're sick, so that we can receive grace in all the moments of our lives that we need it. I mean, that's the reality, the pure blessing that comes out of realizing the truths that are in our gospel message. And 671 continues this and finishes this way. This is why Christians pray above all in the Eucharist to hasten Christ's return by saying to him, "Maranatha, our Lord, come." We're always calling for him to come. We're always looking for him to come back. And it's something that we do in our Eucharist, in our festival celebrations, in our masses throughout the world, in our worship services throughout the world, in our liturgies throughout the world. We want Jesus to come back. I mean, that's the main reason why people get all excited about the end times and want to know, "Is this the end times?" Most people are wrong about what they tell you about the end times anyway. There's a lot that we could get into, but I think I'll wait till that section of the Catechism, because we will talk about it eventually. But just know, a lot of what you hear is falsehood and lies. It's not even the truth. It's not even what God wants you to think about the end times. He wants you to think anew and understand that you are dead to sin. That's what he wants you to think. He wants you to realize you've been buried with him in baptism and rose to a newness of life. You are a new creature in Christ. You have been changed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Because, as we're being told here, the evil powers have to become subject unto him. Until everything is subject to him, until there is a realized new heavens and new earth in which justice dwells, we are a pilgrim church. Let's follow this through into 672. Before his ascension, Christ affirmed that the hour had not yet come for the glorious establishment of the kingdom that was awaited by Israel. And this is something that he declares right before he ascends into heaven, because it's found in Acts chapter 1, 6 and 7, when he says, you know, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, we're all tarrying in our homes nowadays because of COVID. So we should be good at tarrying. We should be good at waiting, and we should be receiving the Holy Ghost. If we're not, we're doing something wrong. I mean, just basically, I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, if you're not getting prayed up to move up, you're doing something wrong. Because this messianic kingdom, this manifestation of God's holiness, is when you go out and you do the corporal works of mercy, like those in the St. Vincent de Paul Society do, when they feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give shelter to the homeless, and all that other stuff that I'm not going to get into at this point because that'll be too long. But it's the thing which the prophets have always been calling for, because they wanted all humanity to come and expect a definitive order of justice, love, and peace. That's why we're to love one another. That's why we're not supposed to be judgmental. Why we're supposed to forgive one another. Trust me, I know the forgiveness part is hard. I've been through seminary, and I can tell you this much. Oh God, help us. Because there is a need for the kingdom of God, even in our seminaries. When you think of the priest scandals and how certain priests are just wrong, that shows you just how much the kingdom of God is not here, even though it is present in the church in and through the sacraments of like confession and Eucharist and so on and so forth. But we will get into that more from the sacramental side when we get into the worship. But it's that is real. In fact, 672 continues and tells us that according to the Lord, the present time is the time of the Spirit of witness, because the Spirit's here to witness. That's why the Holy Spirit is given to you and to me to witness. But it is also a time marked by distress and the trial of evil, which does not spare the church and ushers in the struggles of the last day, the time of waiting and watching. Listen to this. We are in the time of distress. We are in the tribulation of this age. This is the great age of tribulation that we are in. It's kind of like what Monsignor Molloy used to say when I was a kid. He said, it doesn't matter whether you know Jesus isn't coming back for 100 years. You'll die before 100 years pass. I mean, just let that sink in. I mean, you need to realize that if you die before he comes back and you're just going to live your life and be like, I don't have to worry about Jesus ain't coming back till, you know, 2222. I mean, that doesn't do any good to you and me. Because if you die in the year 2020, you have died before Jesus came back and you need to be ready. So there's your rub right there. Just letting you know. And this is something that we're waiting and watching for. We need to be in an attitude of preparation. We need to be watching for Christ. We need to be waiting for him. We need to be expecting him. Why is that? Let's look at 673. Since the ascension, Christ's coming in glory has been imminent. Something that could happen right now. And it didn't. But it could happen right now. Nope, still didn't. But you get the picture. It could happen in an instant. I could just and be there, and that's all that needs to happen. I could just and say, we got to have it right now. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But it can happen that quickly. We need to be prepared. Why is that? Because even though it is not for you to know the times and the season which the Father has fixed by his own authority, this eschatological coming could be accomplished at any moment. Even if it both be delayed, both the final trial that will precede it are delayed and it, we wait for his second coming. And that's the thing that we need to know. I mean, there's been many people in my life that have been saying, oh, in about so many years or whatever, Jesus is coming back. because we're coming near the millennial when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s. And Jesus didn't come back. He's still not come back. It's 20 years after that. 30 in some respects, and 31, 32, depending upon if you read a book that said he was coming back in 1988 or 1989, the great sequel, as I like to call it. It mimics the disappointment that happened in the 1800s. There were two of them. Guy did some math and said, oh, he was coming back in like 18, whatever it was, I think 1820 or 1821, and everybody just waited. Nothing happened. Because, you know, they can be delayed. And this is something that we need to recognize. 674 says it this way. The glorious Messiah's coming is suspended at every moment of history until his recognition by all Israel. For a hardening has come upon the part of Israel in that their unbelief toward Jesus is still there. Why has this hardening come upon part of Israel? Because they reject him. I mean, there are people that are called to be part of God's chosen people who refuse to come into the church because they are hardened in their heart. A lot of people will refuse to see the truth because they are emotionally attached to the lie. All you got to do is look at how people treat people who don't wear masks, or people who wear masks, how they treat people otherwise. I mean, they are hardened in their heart to believe something. It can be a lie, it can be a truth. I asked this question the other day of somebody. You know, if you have the symptoms, you're supposed to quarantine for 2 weeks, and then you can go back out and be in public, right? Okay. How long has all the healthy people been quarantined? 2 months now? Going on 3? I mean, let's think about that. If it's only 2 weeks if you're symptomatic, why is those who are asymptomatic who may not have it a lot longer? That tells you something about what's going on is more of a political thing than a health thing. But I'll leave that there. You can think about that today and tomorrow. St. Peter says to the Jews of Jerusalem after Pentecost, repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old. St. Paul echoes him, saying, for if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? It is this full inclusion of the Jews in the Messiah's salvation in the wake of the full number of the Gentiles that will enable the people of God to achieve the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, in which God may be all in all. You see, that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for every person that God has predetermined and predestined to accept his grace, to receive it or reject it. And he knows how many are going to receive it. And he knows when the last one that's ever going to do that will. And at that moment, he comes back. Are you ready for that? Because if you're not, you'll never know what it means to be truly blessed.